We have a lovely lady on the line now, and I can only describe her, and she actually kind of mentioned it on the phone when I was chatting to her yesterday, that she was just the person who started the conversation and about Waking the Feminist. However, I think that there's more to this than she's actually saying. Lynn Bell, good morning.
Hi, how's it going?
Thanks for joining me. And this story just keeps going and going, which is fantastic. And just so, you know, 2 weeks ago we had Dr. Shelley Thorpe on having a chat about this Waking the Feminists, which all started off with the Abbey kind of only having 10 plays next year during their Wake the Nation, I suppose, celebration of 1916. And quite honestly, the thing has just gone viral or worldwide. Would that be correct?
It has indeed. And like you said, it started off with, I suppose the emphasis was looking at the Waking the Nation program from the Abbey, where there was quite a small representation of women authors, as in playwrights and also directors. But since then, it's become clear that it's not just an Abbey-related problem. There are similar imbalances, I think, across the theatre sector, and we're really interested in trying to help change that within Ireland. But then, just because we've had such incredible international attention with those people like Meryl Streep.
Yes, I saw that. That was that. You know, it just goes to show you how global this is. And I think that was mentioned at the Oscars last year as well.
Right, yeah, I mean, it feels like it's quite a hot topic at the moment. There's a lot of similar conversations happening in the US around Hollywood studios, and also in Australia right at the moment. There's almost a mirror situation happening with one of their major theatre companies. And you know, these are places where there's a lot of Irish people who are living, so there's a great connection there, and there's a lot of awareness of what is going around the world. So we're very lucky to be able to sort of tap into that, really.
Yeah, yeah. And just to explain, you just kind of tweeted a couple of things, if memory serves me right, about, 2.5 weeks ago when this whole programme was announced by the Abbey. And then all of a sudden, it just took off.
Absolutely. I suppose I started tweeting and posting on Facebook, partly because these are conversations that I would have had quite a lot with people around me, with my friends and with my colleagues, and I just felt like unless we talk about it a bit more publicly, we're just going to continue having these same small conversations. So I just started writing my thoughts online, really. And other people really, like, without me doing that much at all, were really, really encouraged to do the same thing. And there's been this huge avalanche of people coming out with their own stories, their own feelings. You know, if nothing else, it's encouraging people to talk to each other and to understand that they're in similar situations. You know, looking at conversations online between actors and production managers who are women, who are, you know, discussing how do they deal with childcare. You know, they've never had a forum to be able to share this kind of information with each other. So that kind of thing I find incredibly refreshing and encouraging, that it might change and encourage the working practices of women who are working in theatre at the moment.
Yeah, because like, and as you touched on earlier there, it's not just in the theatre, it's a huge social issue, really, in the workplace, not necessarily about your particular industry, but that's obviously your focus, really. But at the same time, it's across the whole country, you know.
And the more we talk about it, the more, you know, my eyes are being drawn to tweets about, say, the symphony orchestras, the film sector in Ireland, but then also things like, you know, the big debate about quotas for women in the Dáil.
Yes, so yeah.
You know, it's really, it feels like a topic that is not only a hot topic, but actually it's almost unbearable as to how big it is, because it tentacles go into every single sector of society, I think.
Yeah, and then of course you had that great afternoon in the Abbey where, and I have to say, I thought it was brilliant that the tickets for the Abbey actually sold out for that your event in within 6 or 7 minutes, where normally an Abbey production is to take a lot longer than 6 or 7 minutes.
There was, I mean, excuse me, we knew there was interest, and we knew that it was going to sell out,
yeah,
and we thought it might take a day or so, but
yes.
You know, it really, I was blown away as we made the thing alive, all of a sudden they vanished, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But it was a testament to the kind of event that it was. I mean, I think most people who attended it would say that they've never experienced anything like it. It was electric. It was this extraordinary feeling of people feeling like they've finally been recognised.
Yes, yeah.
I was talking to a young student yesterday, a young man, in Galway. There was a group from Galway, NUIG, who got bussed over by their feminist teachers.
Right.
And they came to the event, and they were absolutely delighted to be there. But this young man said to me that it was the first time he really felt like he was able to say that he was a feminist in public without feeling like he might be ridiculed.
Yeah, or feel under pressure, you know, because, like, let's be honest, in a lot of jobs, if you express a particular opinion, which may not be appreciated by the management, you could find yourself under pressure as well, you know.
Yeah, sure, and there's a huge social pressure around the word feminist itself, and I think it's really interesting. Excuse me. I think it's very important to realise that feminist doesn't equal woman.
Yeah.
You know, that there's the important thing for us is to make sure that feminist voices of all kinds, men and women, are part of this conversation, because otherwise nothing changes, you know. If it's only half of the population talking amongst themselves, it's always going to be a lopsided conversation.
Yeah, yeah, and I suppose that's the same with LGBT as well. You know, you don't have to be a member of that community to have a view on it and to try and help the whole situation.
And to touch you in some way, even if you're not directly, if you feel like you're not absolutely directly related to it.
Yeah.
I would argue that you are, no matter what, but just because it's in the society that we are part of.
Yeah.
But even if you feel like it's not an issue that directly relates to you, it's something that you can have an opinion on and that you can help with. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And can I also point out that when we were chatting yesterday, when we were setting up the interview, that you said you're not here to talk on behalf of Waking the Feminist, you're here to give your own views and all that kind of stuff, you know, which is fine, because you were saying there is now so many different strands of this, you know, this whole thing.
Sure, and just so many people have a huge variety of opinions, which is par for the course, seeing as we are talking about half the population.
Yeah.
And women working in all kinds of different roles who need different things and have experienced different things.
Yeah.
So for me, it's very important to be as inclusive of all those voices as we can. You know, I feel like the reason I set up the thing about not being a spokesperson is I just don't want anybody to ever feel like there is a central committee who are channeling the voices of everybody, because I think that's almost physically impossible.
Yeah.
And that the diversity and the strength of multiple voices is what is hopefully going to change things for
us. Yeah, and of course, your own, I should have pointed out at the top of the interview that your own, you're a set designer, you're an arts manager, you're a theatre maker. Is that the nice term? Is
I suppose it is, in the sense that I tend to do quite a few different types of jobs.
Right.
So, yeah. Theatre maker is a good catch-all.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one until I saw it on social media. God, it's a great education you get on this social media, do you know that?
Yeah, well, I suppose the thing is, for a lot of people working in theatre and working in the arts, that it's quite a financially precarious situation.
Yes, absolutely.
So you need to be able to turn your hand
to multitask, yes, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so going forward, what do you see, you know, the way forward, either short term or long term, or say in the theatre, what do you think may happen?
It's extremely hard for me to judge personally, I suppose, in terms of what we're practically doing. After the event that we organised a couple of weeks ago, we've started working on the level of trying to contact, say, the board of the Abbey Theatre, the board of the Gate Theatre, and the Arts Council, so that we can talk to them about the idea of policy because while all the conversations and connections on a personal level are vital and will hopefully help people's personal lives, unless there's a change in policy at a more structural level, things won't change.
Yeah.
So for us, that's a really key conversation to be having. So that's sort of what we, and when I say we, there's a very loose affiliate
group
of individuals who are working together. So that's what I suppose I and that group are targeting. But I realise that there are all kinds of other things going on around the country. You know, people are interested in trying to start reading series of women playwrights' work. There's all kinds of, you know, sparks of ideas that people around the country that I probably am not even aware of are starting to do in response to this imbalance. And also, I suppose, particularly for next year in 2016, thinking about, I suppose, the real sense of commemoration, all of us remembering together and remembering differently.
Yes.
It's really important, I think, for people to own that commemoration. You know, what is it really that we are remembering, and what has changed in those 100 years, and what is the idealistic view of our nation from now on? You know, I think once people have a creative hand in that themselves, it becomes a lot more living. That commemoration is something real and something
tangible, really. Yeah, because, like, in fairness, our view of history is a very male orientated history, let's be honest. Because I know where my mum grew up in Gaeltacht Park up in Whitehall, and there was a lady who lived beside her, Mrs. Grimley, and she was in Cumann na Mban. And I remember growing up, and, you know, Mrs. Grimley used to be telling us all these stories about running notes for the guys in the GPO. And yet, in school, you never heard about that, you know, about these ladies who were putting their lives on the line, you know, during that the revolution. And yet, it was never really talked about. It is good to get that narrative out there as well, that there's more to what happened during the 1916 rising and all that
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff.
I suppose, for me, one of the big things that has come up again and again in all these conversations is who gets to tell the stories. Who are the people who get to be the storytellers in our nation? And if it's predominantly one half of the nation over another, it means you only are getting half the story, literally. And people can connect more when there's a diversity of stories, I think.
Yeah, well, certainly, I, you know, absolutely, you know, that needs to happen, and more female written plays with more parts in them are what should be happening, you know, out there, you know. Well, look, I know you're a very busy lady, and Lynn, thank you very much for taking the call, and I think you totally underestimate what you started, and you know, in fairness, now,
well,
you know.
I feel like I don't underestimate what started, but I realised that it was a very small little fire that I...
Well, it was a huge spark, you know, it was a great spark, and it just seemed to catch the... I hate using these American terms, to caught the wave, and you certainly have done a fantastic job, and long may it continue. And I know, you know, here in Air FM, we would support anything like this to make sure there's equality out there. And if you ever need anything, please contact us, and we'd all be too delighted to cover it. And all I can say is continued success and the very best of luck. Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Okay.